Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Go Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Shrinvata Shradaya Nityam Gurunantas Jaswachestitam Kalina Nati Dirgena Bhagavan Vishate Ridhi. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of God at Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time. Puramaya proktamachayana bhye padme nishanaya mamardi sarge gyanam paraman maima babasam yatsurayo bhagavatam vadanti. O Uddhava, in the lotus millennium, in the days of yore, at the beginning of the creation, I spoke unto Brahma, who is situated on the lotus that goes out of my navel, about my transcendental glories, which the great sages describe as Srimad Bhagavatam. Soham ninam kshula sukhaya dukam mahagatanam viramaya tasya pravartaye bhagavatam puranam yad aha sakshad bhagavan vishibhyaha. Let me now begin speaking on the Bhagavad Purana, which was directly spoken to the great sages by the personality of God and for the benefit of those who are entangled in extreme miseries for the sake of very little pleasure. Savaya Maharaja Bhagavan Bhadarayanaha Imam Bhagavatam Prita Samitam Veda Samitam. My dear Maharaj Parikshit, that great personality, Srila Vyasadeva, taught me this same scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is equal in stature to the four Vedas. Nimnaganam yata ganga devanam achuto yata vaishnavanam yata shambhu purananam idam tata. Just as the Ganga is the greatest of all rivers, Lord Achyuta, the supreme among deities, and Lord Shambhu, the greatest of Vaishnavas, so Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of all Puranas. Now, we have one, there's two verses we're doing that are together, but we're only going to be chanting the first one. Shutparito yatadina.
Shutparito yatadina.
Sarameyo griham griham.
Sarameyo griham griham.
Sharan vidanti yad distam. Dandam adanam. Dandam adanam evadva. Shutparito yatadina.
Shutparito yatadina.
Sarameyo griham griham.
Sarameyo griham griham.
Charan vindanti yad distam.
Charan vindanti yad distam.
Dandam adanam eva va. Shutparito yatadina.
Shutparito yatadina.
Sarameyo graham graham.
Sarameyo graham graham.
Charan vidanti yad distam.
Charan vidanti yad distam.
Dandam adanam eva va. Shutparito yatadina. Sarameyo griham griham. Charam vidanti yatristam. Andam adonam evava.
Shutparito yatadina.
Shutparito yatadina.
Sarameyo griham griham.
Dandam odanam eva va. I'll read the second verse myself. Tata kamas shayo jiva uchava cha pata brahman uparyado va madhyeva yati distam priya priyam kshut paritaha. Overcome by hunger. Ta. As. Dinaha. Poor. Sara meya. A dog. Griham. From one house. Griham. To another house. Charan. Wandering. Vindati. Receives. Yat. Whose? Distam. According to destiny. Dandam. Punishment. Adanam. Food. Eva. Certainly. Ba. Or. Tata. Similarly. Kama ashaya. Pursuing different types of desires. Jivaha. The living entity. Ucha. High. Avacha. Low. Partha. On a path. Brahman. Wandering. Upari. High. Adaha. Low. Va. Or. Madhye. In the middle. Va. Or. Yati. Goes toward. Distam. According to destiny. Priya. Pleasing. Apriyam. Not pleasing. Translation. The living entity is exactly like a dog who, overcome with hunger, goes from door to door for some food. According to his destiny, he sometimes receives punishment and is driven out, and at other times receives a little food to eat. Similarly, the living entity, being influenced by so many desires, wanders in different species of life according to destiny. Sometimes he is high and sometimes he is low. Sometimes he goes to the heavenly planets. Sometimes to hell. Sometimes to the middle planets, and so on. Before I read the purport, similar to the last verse, covered by the mode of ignorance in material nature, the living entity is sometimes a male, sometimes a female, sometimes a eunuch, sometimes a human being, sometimes a demigod, sometimes a bird, an animal, and so on. In this way, he is wandering within the material world. His acceptance of different types of bodies is brought about by his activities under the influence of the modes of nature. And again, today's verse. The living entity is exactly like a dog who, overcome with hunger, goes from door to door for some food. According to his destiny, he sometimes receives punishment and is driven out, and at other times receives a little food to eat. Similarly, the living entity, being influenced by so many desires, wanders in different species of life according to destiny. Sometimes he is high and sometimes he is low. Sometimes he goes to the heavenly planets. Sometimes to hell. Sometimes to the middle planets, and so on. Purport. The living entity's position is herein likened to a dog's. By chance, a dog may have a very rich owner, and by chance, he may become a street dog. As a dog of a rich man, he will live very opulently. Sometimes in Western countries, we hear of a master leaving millions of dollars to a dog in his will. I can imagine when Prabhupada heard this, how it's like unbelievable. You know, dogs in India are like dogs. And people leave their dogs and cats millions of dollars. And Prabhupada hears this. It's like, this, how can they do, how stupid they are, how much in ignorance they are. How attached they are to a dog. The next birth, they take birth as a dog. And anyway, people, they do. I mean, they have done this. And then they have somebody who takes care of the dog with that money. I don't know what happens after the dog dies. Maybe the dog writes a will. Sometimes in Western countries we hear of a master leaving millions of dollars to a dog in his will. Of course, there are many dogs loitering in the street without food. Therefore, to liken the conditioned existence of the living entity to that of a dog is very appropriate. And so basically, some humans, they have everything. They're born with a silver spoon in their mouth. They have so much opulence. Some people are born in a really horrible situation and they have nothing and they're suffering. So it's compared to a dog. There are some dogs who have it made, you know. Actually, in this country, dogs are, well, the ones who have masters, you know, have it made. Other dogs on the street in this country have it, in one sense, worse than other countries because they're captured, and if nobody takes them in a few weeks, they kill them. You know, because we're civilized. So we don't have the dogs running wild, we just kill them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they...
Just in Boston or...
No, the whole country, the whole country.
They, the shelters.
They catch...
They routinely put them down.
They catch them, they put them in a shelter, but they only can fit and keep them for so long, and after that, if nobody claims them, if nobody wants them, then they kill them. And this is supposed to be right. I mean, don't think Russia's too good. The Olympics, Russia gathered up all the dogs and killed them. And then the nice Olympians, they took dogs back to America and stuff, you know, as pets to save them. You ever seen this with the Olympics in Russia, in Soho?
In 80.
What?
In 80, 1980.
Whenever it was. It seems like yesterday to me.
Last year.
What?
Last year? Oh, I knew only about
98,
sorry.
Okay, so it was last year, good. I'm not so far off. But, you know, so, I mean, in China they eat dogs, and oh, it's horrible what they do. A dog's life. And Prabhupada is at a university, and he talks about how, you know, in your next life you could become a dog. And one of the students says, what's wrong with being a dog? And Prabhupada says, you have my blessings. So he could be a dog. People, and then later he commented, because when he went to Russia, Professor, anybody know his name?
Kotovsky.
Kotovsky. That's definitely the name. But I just didn't know how to pronounce it, and I still don't. Kotovsky. This professor in Russia, Prabhupada's talking to him, you know, because he went to Russia and he met the professor. And the professor ultimately says, you know, Swamiji, there is no God, you know. And then Prabhupada later on commented that, you know, this is Kali Yuga. The big leader professors think there's no God, and the students don't see what's wrong with being a dog. Commented on both of these things at the same time. You know, so this is what we're dealing with here in Kali Yuga. Also, when he is in Russia at that time, when they left, the professor had to get Srila Prabhupada some way of driving him home because he couldn't get a cab. And because he couldn't get a cab, it doesn't seem to make so much logical sense, but he can understand that the Russian people were not happy because you couldn't even get a cab. Now, I would think it means because they don't have material facilities, so they're not so happy. Of course, they don't have a spiritual because the leaders, there's no God, you know, communism is, there is no God. So they don't have that, and they don't even have material happiness. So, and he could tell it just by seeing that there's no cab. And he gave an example as just like you can know, you know, when all the rice is cooked by just testing one grain of rice. So by just seeing one thing like this, you could come to these conclusions. So anyway, in the material world, what's wrong with being a dog? He tells about a dog. Because in this country, people think you have a dog and you take care of him nicely. They don't understand that there are street dogs, and in this country they're caught and they get killed, and in other countries they just live on the street in a horrible life, suffering like anything. You go to India, the street dogs, they have, what is it called? Starts with an M, like with
mange.
A H.
Mange.
And they all have this mange, and they're scratching and itching. I was just there, and this one dog had four puppies, just gave birth by this, they call it the Alachua Apartments, because a lot of devotees from Alachua lived there. And that's where I was staying, because I have somebody who has an apartment there. And it's like, it's like the end, there's nowhere, you know, when you get to that building, there's no further, there's just a little yard. So one of the ladies in there, the mother just left the puppies, although would come back, and so she started feeding them, taking care of them. So these were really good, healthy puppies. And then another dog came when these two kids were watching the puppies playing with, and took one of the puppies and grabbed it and just killed this puppy. And they were hitting the dog, but, you know, they were little kids, so they couldn't hit them so much.
Was she dog?
Not the mother. Not the
also
mother.
Also she dog, yeah?
Huh?
She dog or he dog? Woman or man dog? Female dog or male dog?
I don't know. I don't know what it was. But the mother previously was trying to protect the dog. When that dog would come, would growl at it. I don't know why, but this is the life of a dog on the street. Even a dog you're taking care of, puppies, so they killed it. Then there was three puppies left. And then once they go on their own, they're going to be in not very good shape. In India, dogs are not appreciated as much as they are here. Although now in India, a lot of rich Indians have dogs that they have in their house or apartments, and they take the dogs for a walk. And you could see the difference between those dogs and the street dogs. An intelligent human being, however, can understand that if he has to live the life of a dog, he had best become... Anybody know? Oh, you got the book. You got the book, too. Best become Krishna's dog. Even Prabhupada at Vyas Puja in New Vrindavan, I think it was 73 or 74, I'm not positive, but I was there, and Prabhupada was giving a talk on top of the hill. They built this big pandal, and a lot of devotees came from everywhere, you know, at Prabhupada's Vyas Puja. And apparently there was other people who may not have been like disciples, but I don't know, favorable or maybe news people, I don't know what, who was there. But Prabhupada was talking about, because he was being honored so much, that, you know, what can you do to please God? He said, you can't really do, what can you, then he said, what can you do to please a rich man? He has everything, what can you do to please him? He said, but if he has a son, and you pat his son nicely on his head, he's pleased. He said, or if he has a dog, and you pet his dog nicely, he's pleased. He says, similarly, I am like Krishna's dog. So, here he's talking about also, be Krishna's dog. In the material world, the dog is sometimes elevated and is sometimes on the street. But in the spiritual world, Krishna's dog is perpetually, eternally happy. And with Lord Chaitanya, there was in Lord Chaitanya Leela, who was it? Shivananda Sen, I think. He had this dog following him. And he took care of the dog, even paid toll for the dog to cross. And then the dog came and got some bits of prasadam from Lord Chaitanya, and then after that, the dog went back home, back to Godhead. So, even a dog can be liberated. And here, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore sung Vaishnava Takura Tomara Kukura Baliya Janaha More. In this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur offers to become a Vaishnava's dog. A dog always keeps himself at his master's door and does not allow any person unfavorable to the master to enter. I don't have it here, but I know Chanaka Pandit, I should have looked this up. He talks about how a dog, the good qualities of a dog, and it's like about five good things, but he's very loyal, dedicated to his master. Don't say that about a cat. They're pretty independent. I can say that because Yoga Maya is not here. Any person unfavorable to the master. Similarly, one should engage in the service of a Vaishnava and try to please him in every respect. Unless one does so, he does not make spiritual advancement. Just like that example he gave, what can you do to please Krishna? So what can you do to make spiritual advancement? You've got to please Krishna, but you can't do anything. But if you please his representative, then you please him. Like pet his dog nicely, or pat his son on the head. So apart from spiritual advancement, in the material world, if one does not develop his qualities in goodness, he cannot be promoted to the higher planetary system. Not that we're looking to be promoted to the higher planetary system, but the mode of goodness is right next to, from there you can come to the spiritual platform much easier. The mode of ignorance, it's like no hope at all, you don't know anything. And the mode of passion, you don't really have time. But the mode of goodness, you can reflect, you think more, so then it's easier to come to the spiritual platform. And here also, even to go to higher planets, you've got to be in the mode of goodness. As confirmed by Bhagavad Gita 14:18, Urdvam gachanti sattvasta madhye tistanti rajasaha jaganya guna vittista ado gachanti tamasaha. Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets. And those in the mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. Ignorance is, it's saying, ignorance is bliss. It's bliss because you don't know you're going to be suffering like anything in the next moment. So you're happy, and the next moment you're suffering. So similarly, you're having maybe a great time, not really a great time, because even in the mode of ignorance, their happiness is... In the mode of ignorance, it's like it's suffering in the beginning, the middle, and the end. That's what they consider happiness. Like intoxication. I mean, I could give if anybody's ever tasted liquor, it tastes horrible. It's like, I mean, when I was a kid and for some reason, this is what you wanted to do, I'd have to hold my nose and drink it. It's the most disgusting thing, you know. And then what's the result of it? Then you make a fool of yourself, you're a complete idiot. I mean, and this is considered happiness. Where's the happiness? The beginning, the middle, and at least in the mode of passion, in the beginning there's some happiness, there's some pleasure. Then later on, it turns into suffering. Beginning there's happiness, and then turns into distress. In the mode of goodness, in the beginning, it's not nice, happiness. You know, but then it turns into nectar. First it's like poison, then it turns into nectar. In the mode of goodness. And yeah, I mean, you could see just doing the right thing in the mode of goodness. Getting up early, just being clean, different activities. It may be at first, if you're not used to doing these things, it's difficult, it's hard to do, you don't want it. But then when you do it, you feel so much better. I remember when I was a kid, on Saturday, if I woke up by 10 o'clock in the morning, it was like, wow, I got the whole day ahead of me. It was like so early. So I was really in the mode of ignorance, getting up at noon or 1 normally. Sometimes I get up really early at 10 in the morning. So those in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to higher planets. There are many varieties of life in the different planetary systems, and these come about due to the living entities developing his qualities in goodness, passion, and ignorance. So this is nice. It depends upon what you do. We talked about how you can be born in a very rich family or a very poor family suffering. It's because of what you've done, what you've done with your previous lives. So it's not like you can blame, you know, God, why I have to suffer. You're suffering because of you, what you've done. It's not Krishna's fault you're suffering. Or you're enjoying because of what you've done. Usually people who have difficulties, you know, they think, why me? Why am I suffering? What did I ever do? You know, they can't even consider what they did in this life, let alone past life. Even in this life, we've done so many things wrong. And a devotee is supposed to be thinking, actually, I deserve much worse than this. You know, and they see it. They're not just saying it mechanically. They can actually see, I mean, even in this life, I've done so much. Who knows what else I did in past lives? I deserve worse than this. Well, Krishna is being kind to me. So we have to see, you know, how much of, even just by that aspect, we can see how much we're a devotee or how much we're not thinking like a devotee. Because even devotees have difficulties. It's not like a devotee, everything is, you know, oh, they're so happy. They're happy all the time. We just put on a show.
Sometimes it's a show, but a lot of times just you're remembering Krishna, you're remembering all these wonderful pastimes.
I can tell you, if you put on a show of being happy, being enthusiastic, you'll become happy and enthusiastic. You actually do. Enthusiasm. If you're enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness, you're happy. And if you're not enthusiastic, you just act like you are and you will become enthusiastic.
And it doesn't work with not Krishna consciousness, because if you like making the show that you're enthusiastic about some material things, it's just a show. But if you're making the show about Krishna consciousness, it's like magic.
It's real. Krishna reciprocates. So even if you're not happy, we don't have to have, you know, happy is one thing. You know, we become happy when we're enthusiastic about Krishna. So if we're not happy, if we act enthusiastic, we will become genuinely enthusiastic and genuinely happy. And it's an experiment anyone can make. Problem is, when you're not happy, when you are depressed, it's so difficult, you don't want to do anything, you just want to, you know, stay in your room, don't want to see anybody, don't want to talk to anybody. I know people who don't answer the phone because they don't want to talk to anybody. No, not people who live in the temple. They may not have their own phones. But anyway, so you just fake it in Krishna consciousness and then it becomes real. But the stress is definitely going to be there. You're going to get so much happiness and so much distress. And the real devotees, they're not affected by it. Whether they're happy or they're distressed, they just continue with their service. What's the difference? I remember we had a devotee who's left ISKCON, but is following now some other guru in Gaudiya Math and trying to get converts to his, you know, to his new found Gaudiya Math guru. Who may have been bona fide, but you know, it's not very chaste to leave, you know, Prabhupada and go with some other guru. But anyway, he asked my wife one time, trying to get her, you know, he said, this is like a new age kind of thing, you know, are you happy? And she said, what difference does it make if I'm happy? That's not important if I'm happy. It's if Krishna's happy. That's all that matters. You know, so he didn't get very far with her. But for most people, it's like, I really have to be happy. But we will be happy, we know. Even at one time with a devotee in Prabhupada, Prabhupada asked if he was happy, and he didn't seem very happy, and he's not happy. He said, then why are you doing this, practicing this Krishna consciousness? It doesn't make you happy. He said, because I know in the future I'll be happy. And Prabhupada said, that is very intelligent. So even if we're not happy now, if we continue, we will be happy. And I can say one thing about happiness is it comes and goes. And when you're distressed, you think it's going to last forever, but it will not last forever. It will end. It just has to. And then you'll be happy for a while, and that's going to end too. And then you'll be distressed. So material happiness and distress come and go. Spiritual happiness is always there if we can stay on the spiritual platform. So there are many varieties of life in the different planetary systems, and these come about due to the living entities developing his qualities in goodness, passion, and ignorance. If one is in goodness, he is promoted to the highest systems. If in passion, he remains in the middle systems. And if in ignorance, he is pushed down to the lowest species of life. I read the translation once again. The living entity is exactly like a dog who, overcome with hunger, goes from door to door for some food. According to his destiny, he sometimes receives punishment and is driven out, and at other times receives a little food to eat. Similarly, the living entity, being influenced by so many desires, wanders in different species of life according to destiny. Sometimes he is high and sometimes he is low. Sometimes he goes to the heavenly planets, sometimes to hell, sometimes to the middle planets, and so on. So we have to try to, not that we want to go to the heavenly planets, but try to be more in the mode of goodness. His Sudasatra is pure goodness, where you're never affected by passion or ignorance. In the material world, if you're in the mode of goodness, you also get some passion and some ignorance at different times. It's not pure. But Sudasatra is the transcendental platform. It's pure goodness. And you're doing everything for Krishna. So we should try to keep ourselves even more in the mode of goodness, because in the mode of goodness we can understand Krishna consciousness better, we can behave properly, or at least better, with devotees and non-devotees. In the mode of goodness, you're peaceful. It's hard to find so many devotees in the mode of goodness, though. I mean, well, people. Even when Prabhupada came here, he said everyone was in the mode of passion and ignorance. He saw everyone. This was when he first arrived in Boston. He saw they were just in passion and ignorance. He didn't see anyone in the mode of goodness. So goodness is not so easy, but the more we associate with the mode of goodness, the more we can reflect on Krishna consciousness, the more we can deal nicer with devotees. So how do you get in the mode of goodness? Well, for us, we want to get to the transcendental platform, so we'll just chant Hare Krishna and hopefully we get a little more situated in the mode of goodness. Of course, the mode of goodness is just material, so we don't want to just be situated in goodness. But if you read some of, you know, these personalities, Narada Muni, he's in the mode of goodness. I mean, he's in transcendental, but it's goodness. He behaves in goodness. And you look at Indra, he behaves in passion. He's in the heavenly planets, but he's very passionate. I mean, we know stories about Indra. We don't really hear of Indra ever being in the mode of goodness, but I'm sure he is. But the stories we hear is when he is acting in the mode of passion.
Because for passionate people, it's not very interesting stories about the mode of goodness.
Yeah, I mean, but Narada Muni is stories about him, but it's all just preaching. You're just preaching about Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah. Oh, the passion is more interesting. Your stories. Okay, well, anyone have any questions? Comments? Yes?
So, I just like what you said, but it's like how we can also see where we are situated, like, because a person in the mode of goodness can say, I'm not happy now, like Jamata said, but doesn't make any sense. What about, like, if Krishna is happy, because a person in the mode of goodness can see the future, yes, what is like, in future, I will be happy. In mode of passion, I do not understand it. I will say, it matters, you know, it matters. I have to be happy. And especially in the mode of ignorance here, if it's...
In the mode of ignorance, they do not see any future. In the mode of passion, they see some future.
Yeah.
Mode of ignorance is just now. They're ignorant of everything that's going to happen. That's why it's bliss. It's great, but it doesn't end. I mean, it ends. Ignorance is bliss. But when you think about what's going to happen, you know, I'm living in a house and I don't pay my rent. And I don't pay for anything. And I'm just really happy. Not seeing that in a month or so, I'm going to be thrown out on the street. So that's the mode of ignorance. So in the mode of passion, you see, I got to do something or I'm going to be in trouble. Mode of ignorance, you don't see that. Okay. Any other comments or questions? All glories to Shri Prabhupada.